Good morning. Welcome to the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. My name is Nell Newton. I'm your lay leader today. We are an intentionally inclusive congregation, and we welcome everyone to our church. We wish to extend special hospitality to our guests today. And if you'd like to learn more about our church, please visit the welcome table that's just outside the sanctuary in the foyer.
Regarding the idea of Unitarian Universalism and evangelism being together, I am reminded of the old UU joke, which goes like this. What do you get if you cross a Jehovah's Witness, who are, of course, very aggressive evangelical types, and a Unitarian Universalist? Well, what you get is someone who comes and knocks on your door for no apparent reason. Let me share a little bit of my story because I think it illuminates the problems and challenges we face as a movement, needing to change, needing to be more outwardly focused, but not being there yet and having quite a number of questions as to why we should be more evangelical. I have always been a UU internally. As I look back on my life, even from the time I was a teenager, I see how I thought like a UU. However, I grew up in a family that was a part of the United Methodist Church. My family members, all of them, went to the United Methodist Church. I was inspired to go into ministry through the work of a United Methodist minister. And so it was only natural when the inclination to be a minister was with me in my college days that I went into United Methodist ministry. My college, although it was right in the middle of the Deep South in Birmingham, Alabama, was a very liberal place. And the religious department was particularly liberal. The seminary I went to at Vanderbilt was an interdenominational and very liberal institution. And my educational experiences reinforced my being a UU in heart and mind. However, I did not know that the Unitarian Universalist Church existed. Now, you can attribute that to the fact that I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama, which is not widely known for its liberalness. Or you can partially, at least, attribute that to the tendency of UUs everywhere to put their light under a bushel. I was trying to fit my UU faith into a United Methodist vehicle. I allied myself with liberal United Methodist ministers. There was, in fact, a very active and articulate liberal wing of the United Methodist Church, even in the South during the 1960s and 70s and 80s. And this group of clergy, among themselves, would say things like, "Yes, we know the Bible is a symbolical document, a series of symbolical stories, but our people," quote unquote, the people in the pews, "don't know that. And so we must talk as they think, which is literally." This did not work for me. My work in the parish, the proverbial real world, pushed me further in the direction of knowing that I was not really comfortable in the United Methodist Church. So I ventured out from that umbrella of security, not knowing that UUs existed. And so while it was clear to me what I did not want to be any longer, it was not clear where I exactly was going to go. And so some friends encouraged me to take some work in the secular world, the business world, and I did, finding myself in my wife in Fort Collins, Colorado. And there we had to look really hard to find the UUs. You might be surprised to know that they were not sending out missionaries. And we both quickly realized that it was a spiritual home for us. And I got to know Royal Jones, the minister there, and we became friends. And with his guidance, I moved toward the UU ministry. Now, one thing that got my attention as my eyes were fresh to that new environment was that people in the UU church, and this is before I became indoctrinated by the system itself, you understand, is that people in the UU church were completely indifferent to letting their light shine. In fact, they were quite proud of not letting their light shine. It was a point of honor that they weren't letting their light shine. I understood this, for there is nothing quite as obnoxious as evangelical fervor of those who want to save us. Another thing that got my attention before I was indoctrinated is an ethos of, quote, "We're free to not believe anything here." I have come to see that that is grossly inaccurate, but more on that later. There was another thing that got my attention, and has more so over the years, and that is the number of UU churches that are very, very hard to find. The number of UU churches that are at, for example, dead-end roads is phenomenal. And in my last settled ministry, you had to get to the church. You had to go through some residential streets with no signage whatsoever from a main street. You had to then have eyes enough, strong enough to see a little tiny short sign that was very aesthetically pleasing, but near the ground, and you had to turn there, and then when you turned down the road, you didn't see anything for 150 yards. And then when you got 150 yards, you saw an obscure building that looked like it might be an IRS building in the distance. And then you drove around the building, and you would have to go all the way to the back parking lot before you realize that this might be a church, but you're not quite sure until you get in. I remember one of the first meetings when I was in the Puget Sound area was to go to a meeting of a church in Tacoma. And never in my life have I had a harder time in finding a building as the Tacoma UU Church. And indeed, it was at the end of a dead-end street that was at the end of another dead-end street. So, that's interesting, don't you think? I mean, the Catholics, the Presbyterians, etc., they're so proud to put their church downtown, right where everybody can see it 1,000 times a year as they drive by. But we UUs have higher calling. The word evangelism is not heard frequently in UU churches. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. But the Reverend John Morgan told the following story. I quote him, "I happened to use evangelism one day in a sermon. And as I was gathering my notes together and heading for the coffee, I noticed out of the corner of my eye that someone was marching toward me, face flushed, angry eyes, looking for a landing spot on my psyche. She said to me, 'Don't ever use that word here again.' 'What word?' he asked innocently. That's what they teach you. One of the most important lessons they teach you in seminary is to act so innocent as a minister. What word, he asked innocently, already knowing from past experiences what she was going to say. Evangelism, she almost shouted. She threw back the word as if it were caught in her throat and she needed to hurl it out. Don't use that again. And finally she said, we have newcomers here today. I wanted to ask her how the newcomers had learned of this church, if not from someone's evangelism, but I held my tongue. Unfortunately, for most UUs, evangelism represents high-handed proselytizing, Bible-thumping, self-righteousness, manipulative appeals to the emotions, power over us, hubris, and worse. And in our collective memories, there is indeed a very, very dark set of images of European missionaries bringing Christianity to enlightened backward natives. And there are so many other occasions when exploitation and conversion, if not cruelty, were the same thing. And besides, if we believe indeed in freedom of conscience, and if we are non-creedal, how on earth could we justify the idea of evangelizing? I think we begin to understand a different way if we realize that the word evangelism is not owned and it is not possessed by other religious groups. That the word evangelism is a power unto itself, and no one has a franchise on it or a particular meaning to give it exclusively. There is a great difference, a vast difference, between aggressively saying, we are the perfect faith, we are right, everyone else is right, we are the best, we do religion our way, and you should do religion our way, or bad things will happen to you, like going to hell. And saying, we believe we have something good to say. We believe we have something important to say. We believe that we are good for children, adults, society, and the earth. Here is what we believe. Here is what we stand for. Here is what our perspective is on a number of issues. We are open to you joining us, but we value diversity and we value the right of people to think differently. And our faith is not about coercion, subtle or otherwise. There's a vast difference between those two. And it is because we have been so turned off by evangelism of the first type that we automatically and thoughtlessly eschew evangelism of the second type. But to do so is to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The point is to let our light shine, if indeed we believe we have a light that is valuable to the world. The word evangelist comes from a Greek root, and broadly speaking, it simply means a bringer of good news. What constitutes good news can be defined by any religious group in the way that they prefer. I believe that we are in possession of good news. Let me share some aspects of what that good news looks like. We stand for the acceptance of gay, lesbian, and transgender persons in a world that not only rejects, to a large extent, those groups, but vilifies people in that group. That is good news. We stand for openness and respect for all religion. The world needs more of that. Recently, a Florida pastor in Gainesville, Florida, burned the Islamic holy text. That occurred on March the 20th. Then this last Friday, April the 1st, at least 8 UN workers and 4 others were killed in a compound in the city of Mazarif. We need less intolerance. We need more openness. Our religion at its core is radically open to all the faiths of the world. That is a form of good news. That is something valuable that we represent. We are a religious movement that embraces and accepts science. That is great news. We are a religious vision that sees science and spirituality as playing mutually beneficial roles, not locking in camps against one another. Recently, the Tennessee House of Representatives proposed a controversial new law which, in essence, attacks the teaching of evolution in its public schools. Our statement of principles and purposes is a veritable list of things that we can contribute to society. The inherent worth and dignity of every person. Justice, equity, and compassion in human relations. Acceptance of one another and encouragement to spiritual growth in our congregations. A free and responsible search for truth and meaning. These are wonderful values and principles. Can you imagine a world in which these values would have a greater hold on the public imagination? Can you envision the wonder and the beauty of a society in which values like this were promoted more courageously and consistently? Imagine what the world would look like if values like this were held in a larger and greater esteem. These principles in themselves are powerful forms of the good news which we represent to the world. The fact that we are in a community, that we are part of a community that advocates principles like this is extraordinarily good news. It is a really, really, really good thing that in this society of chaos and anxiety and darkness, there is an institution that stands for values such as these. Each of these principles represent a particular way the UU community can make an invaluable contribution to our society. There's also another special dimension to UU communities, namely that individual congregations can take responsibility for the generation of mission, vision, principles, values, and goals themselves. That what we believe is, to some extent, constituted by our membership and rises out of the heart and mind of the people. There are some real gems of belief that flow from this process. And the following, in my mind, is a great example. This congregation, about a year ago, completed a statement of healthy relationships. This document is a beautiful statement of a covenantal belief. Let me read part of it. As a religious community, you have committed to one another to nurture the spiritual growth of people of all ages in your church, to keep communications with one another direct, honest, and respectful, to be present with each other through life's transitions, to make the church a safe place to express your deepest fears as well as your greatest joys, to engage with the larger world to promote justice and peace. Recently, I was at a staff meeting in which we began our time together by reading this covenant. And it made a great deal of difference to how we interacted with one another by reading that covenant. It would be very beneficial to Austin, to our society, if more people lived within the framework of a covenant like this. It would be very wonderful if all the families in this congregation could look at this covenant and ask themselves, can we integrate this covenant into the life of our family? It would be very wonderful if every committee in this church would begin their time together by reading this covenant, because it gives us all a context in which to live and move and have our being. I am trying to paint a picture here. I hope that you can follow the outlines of this picture. The picture is that there is something enormously good that this religious movement and this congregation represents to the world. Let me go at this from another angle. Sometimes I get overwhelmed by the way our nation's leaders function and their values. And rather than get angry at politicians at the state or national level, I think it is a far wiser question to ask of saying, what are we contributing to this? What are we contributing to a system where our leaders seem to be out of control, out of touch, completely bought and owned by corporate powers, and where we, the citizens, feel like we are powerless? And for me, one of the answers to this is not to try to enter the power games of the political world, but by nurturing right around us what can give strength to our country and our communities. And one of the specific and direct ways we can do that, in my opinion, is by growing and nurturing and strengthening our local UU congregations. There is a connection between the vitality of any congregation and the extent to which it finds it within itself to reach out. John Morgan, in a book of essays called Salted with Fire, wrote, "Many years ago, as a theological student, I was asked by the UUA Extension Department to take a look at the 315 of our churches and fellowships that died between 1961 and 1983. Again and again in the records of these groups, which I combed through relentlessly, I found a familiar and constant refrain. Inwardness, focusing on internal questions and arguments while neglecting a wider mission with consequent loss of heart and mission. In short, I found no evangelism." There are lots of ways to count UUs. It depends on whether the minister is counting the membership or the church treasurer. That's a big difference in that right there. But most people would say that there is between 100,000 and 200,000 UUs in America. We live in a country of 300 million people. You cannot tell me that there are not at least 4.5 million potential UUs in this country. There is a gap between reality and what is realistically possible. Perhaps we need to reinvent evangelism. Yesterday I was at Whole Foods and I was walking by a counter and I noticed a guy who was sitting at a bench, and I noticed something twinkling from his left ear, and I kind of slowed down and I looked more carefully, and it was an earring dangling from his left ear, and there was something about what I was looking at that drew my eyes in. And just before I passed him, I noticed it was a UU chalice symbol. So that is truly subtle evangelism. Maybe we UUs need to create UU evangelism in our own way. There are plenty of rationales, some of them intellectually impressive and beguiling, for thinking that it is improper for us to try to share our faith. Perhaps in light of this fact, the next denominational ad campaign should make a virtue of our limited size, which we are committed to. It could run something like this, drawing from an old Marine Corps ad campaign. We could say, the few, the proud, the Unitarians. But I think that that direction is to be resisted. This is what the UU evangelist believes, that there is something valuable here. There is something valuable in our tradition. There is something valuable in our history. There is something valuable in the way we live. There is something valuable in the values we hold dear, and we want to share it. May it be so. Amen. I share with you this benediction. May an awareness of the gifts of life and the preciousness of each moment abide in us. May the memories we gather here give us hope for the future. May the love we feel here bring strength to our hearts and resolve to our minds as we let our values and principles guide our deeds. And may that peace which passes all understanding be with us until we meet again. Amen.
This is a presentation of the First Unitarian Universalist Church of Austin. For more information, visit our website at www.austinuu.org.